Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and you can also find it on iTunes as a free download. Today, as always, I'm excited to talk with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hey to Jamie. Hey, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. I'm doing pretty well. It's 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning, so it feels a little bit early for me, but I'm excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited that you got up early to do this. So, and I'm sure people are going to be excited to listen to your story. So, to get us started, could you introduce yourself, who you are, and where you're from, and what you do to keep busy?
Sure. So, my name is Jamie. I live in San Diego, California. I was born and raised in the area. I work for the courthouse here in the Human Resources Department. I do people's benefits and help them kind of make those decisions. Right now, we're actually in open enrollment, so work's been pretty hectic. And then, I spend just a lot of time with my friends. I like to write and read. I do a lot of that. I used to blog a lot, but I haven't been doing that as much recently. I'm also a part of the National Stuttering Association, and I'm pretty involved with our local chapter here in San Diego.
Wow. You are pretty busy. Yeah. How did you get into human resources? That's an interesting job choice for somebody that stutters.
Yeah. So I actually, that's a funny story in some ways. I went to college, straight out of high school, and I had been picking classes in high school for sure that, which is kind of what I had to do. I wanted to do things like drama or speech and debate, but I thought that wasn't something that I could do. So I never did. And then I decided to get my degree in business accounting because I thought, okay, accounting, I don't have to talk a lot. It's probably the only thing I can do. But like, yeah, so I got my degree. And as I was getting the degree, I was like, this is not my thing. I dreaded going to class, and I ended up taking creative writing classes while I was there and enjoying that so much more and just really didn't know where I was going to go next because I really value stability as well. But I kind of thought, well, I like this idea of human resources because a good human resources department is there to welcome someone into the company, be that first phase, make them comfortable, which I've always thought I was pretty good at. And then also can kind of help resolve issues and be there and kind of like hopefully be a little bit of a sounding board for people. So I got my first job at the court there in payroll. And then when a position opened up in the benefits department in HR, I went that direction, and I've really actually enjoyed that. It's been, I'm on the phone a lot, but I was able to, it was hard at first, but I worked through that. I had a really supportive supervisor when I was in payroll who was just was amazing, that helped me really build my confidence to not let the anxiety and the shame that I felt take over when I'm at work. So, yeah.
How did the supervisor do that? That's amazing. I mean, you said that person is an amazing person, but how did that person actually help you build your confidence?
Sure. So it was pretty cool. So I was starting there straight out of college. There were 11 people interviewed. I was one of two. So I was always kind of like, okay, it's cool. And then pretty early on, maybe a few months in, I got a phone call and I answered and I said, payroll, this is Jamie. And the person on the other line said, oh, haha, did you forget your name? So that typical question that we always get. And I hadn't had that happen yet in a workplace environment. I always say probably the first 200 times I answered the phone, I stuttered that way on my name, like every single time. But my supervisor had been encouraging me to answer the phone and kind of pushing me to gently. And then, so I had this happen with this person on the other line, and I ended up finding out it was a supervisor to a different department in one of our other sites, and who ended up actually being my mom's supervisor, because my mom works for the court too. Oh. So that was awkward. But I went and I just didn't really reply at all. I just laughed, which is what I always used to do. And then I sat down with my supervisor afterwards and I told her what happened. I said, what do you think I should do? And she asked me, well, you're a part of this stuttering organization. What's something that they encourage, or what's something you're comfortable doing? I'm like, well, maybe I could email her and tell her, just so you know, like, I have a stutter. I didn't forget my name. And she was like, okay, yeah, if you want to do that, that's great. And she told me, she said, and I want you to know if you have any issues or if you want to pass it over to me, I will take it. She's in her late 50s at the time. And so she was very, like, had been there for a long time. Like, if you want to pass it over to me, I will talk to anyone for you. She said, when I hired you, I knew you had a stutter and I knew you'd be answering phones and I wanted you stutter and all. And that phrase, I wanted you stutter and all, was like my favorite thing, because it wasn't like I wanted you despite it or I wanted you because. It was like, that is just a part of you, like one piece. And I wanted all of this person, so I wanted that too. And that, like, that interaction with her, like, I really think it changed for me the course of my life at all, because it really reshaped how I view myself, my stutter, and my interactions with people, and how I feel like other people might perceive me. So she was cool, because she didn't give a hoot about what other people thought, and was there to just fight for me and encourage me, which is, I'm so lucky, and I'm aware, I'm very lucky that that was my first full-time job's supervisor experience. I know most people don't have a positive situation like that, but I just really got lucky with her.
Wow. That kind of gave me chills as you said that, because that is such a cool thing. I want you, stutter and all. Like, I think that will probably be the name of this episode. That's really great. What about coworkers? How are coworkers with you and your stutter?
My coworkers have always been pretty. They don't really say anything about it. It's very much of the, if I talk about it, then they'll say something, but they really never address it. So most of them are also pretty protective of me. And when I have a bad interaction with a different employee somewhere, they get upset too. But it's been kind of almost fun now for me that I'm in a pretty good, because I'm now in a pretty good place with my acceptance and being okay with it, and just seeing it as a different method of communicating communication, that when I have an awkward interaction with someone, I think it's like a funny experience, but my coworkers don't. And so it's just kind of like a funny interaction with them when I'm like, oh, this person said this, and they get upset, and I'm like, oh no, it's fine. When I moved into HR, my new supervisor, Kara, her and I sat and talked about a month in, and I knew I was going to be on a lot of conference calls and I was going to be meeting a lot of our benefit carriers. So I was a little nervous about that. And she had worked with me because payroll and HR worked together. So she kind of knew me and she had heard me stutter. And so I was like, okay, I'll just like address the elephant in the room kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I talked to her about it and she was very, 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 very surprised that I had a low self-esteem about it, because she said, you don't give off that at work. Like when you're at work, you're there and you are confident in what you're doing. And I've never even thought about your stutter making an impact on the way that you work or the way you see yourself. So she was actually really shocked that I had ever had that be an issue in my life, because by the point of time she was interacting with me, I was pretty okay with it. So that was pretty cool too. I did have one coworker who's made a pretty negative comment, but for the most part, everyone's been pretty good about it. And then when I had a couple of bad interactions with different supervisors and other departments, for some reason it was always supervisors, I ended up talking to someone in HR just saying, hey, I don't know what's going on with all the supervisors here, but they need a little awareness check. And it was right before, it was this time of year, 2 years ago, and they sent out on October 22nd, International Stuttering Awareness Day, they sent out a mass email to everybody at the court. So like 1,300 employees about Stuttering Awareness Day and wow, the right and wrong ways kind of for someone. So it ended up being really cool. And then I was kind of glad. I'm like, well, those interactions sucked, but I'm kind of glad now they happened, because it helped bring some, because all I could think was like, there's probably other people who stutter who work at the court, even if they're covert or something. And so just to have that go out there and let people know, like, you're supported too, was just kind of a cool thing I thought could happen.
Yeah. Wow. So have you ever done anything? You mentioned like supervisors like maybe needed a reality check or some something. Have you ever done like a presentation or a training session with anybody at work?
I have not, but that's a pretty cool idea. I do like that, because I was surprised that I think it was 3 or 4 different supervisors who made a terrible comment, or I was like, what is happening? So maybe I could talk to, because they have a lot of supervisor training too, or just in general. I do think one thing that's been helpful maybe is I do the benefit portion of new hire orientations. And when I was in payroll, I sometimes did the payroll portion of new hire orientations. And I feel like that's kind of been a good experience too for other people too, to be aware. And then because I'm stuttering while I'm doing it, and I might say something if it comes up or if they seem weird at all, I'll talk about my stutter really quick. But I also recently did presentations for open enrollment. So I went to different sites in Chula Vista, Central, and some of the other areas, and did a little 5-minute presentation introducing our new plans. But I stuttered through those. And so I felt like, okay, well, that's cool that people get to hear that. And see someone who's just there giving informed things and stuttering through it.
That's great. That's really great. That's That's like that. That's teaching somebody about stuttering awareness without actually having to specifically mention it. You're just showing them by doing. So that's really wonderful. It sounds like you are really in a good place. When did you, like, quote unquote, accept your stutter?
It was definitely a process, and it's not perfect. I still definitely have days where I'm like, if I just didn't have this, then I would have these other opportunities. But I don't see that as much anymore. When I was in college, my friend told me about a little film premiere that one of the seniors at her college, or my rival college, I went to Azusa Pacific. She was going to Biola University, and she mentioned, hey, there's this like senior doing this film premiere thing he did on his stutter. Do you want to come down? Or here's his website. So I get the website to This Is Stuttering, which is Morgan Lott's little self-made documentary about it. And I was like, oh, it's cool. So I just sent him an email telling him I stutter. We didn't know about the premiere actually. He replied to me. He's like, hey, we're doing a premiere in 2 days down here at Biola if you want to come. I was like, okay. So I took my friend and I went down to Biola, and Morgan's stutter in that film was very, very, very similar to mine. Similar facial tics, similar sits at secondaries, which I didn't know anything about. I didn't know what secondaries were, but as I watched him touch his face and things, I was like, I do that. Do I do that because of my stutter? And it was the first time I was ever made aware of those things. And he also has a pretty similar personality in that he's a very friendly, outgoing person, but then was being really controlled by this. So I kind of freaked out when I was watching it, because I was like, whoa, this is just like me.
Wow.
And I talked to him and I talked to his now wife at the time they were dating and had really positive interactions. And that's how I heard about the NSA with him going to a couple of the conferences, and I was following along and I kept thinking about going, but I was too afraid. And then I eventually went when they had a little regional one in Anaheim because it was really close and it seemed non-threatening that way. It was a big group, so I didn't have to worry about a small group. And that's when it kind of started. That's where I met the chapter leader at the time down here. But I still didn't want to go to this stuff. I still pushed it off for a while. But eventually becoming friends with people who stutter and realizing that it's just not as big of a deal as I thought it was, and has been really, that's what's changed me. I do feel like my relationships with my friends who's stutter have been the defining reason that I can make peace with myself. Is that's just a part of them, and I don't think about it as being. It's really cool to be able to connect, and I understand the shit. I'm not gonna like sit there and say it's not a big deal because obviously it has been to us, but also at the same time, seeing it's not a big deal as far as how they're communicating, it's not impacting their communication in the way that we think it does. And I remember a friend telling me pretty soon after I found the National Stuttering Association, he told me, Jim, you're a great communicator. And I thought he was making a joke. I was like, ha, very funny. Like, don't be a jerk. He's like, no, I'm not. Like, I mean that. Like, the point of communication is to help the other person understand what it is that you're trying to say and saying it in an efficient and helpful way. And you're great at that. Like, with your stutter, even, it's not. That doesn't change your communication skills. And that also really impacted me to be like, oh, like those were a couple of my moments moments, I think, where it was like a shift in a more positive direction.
Wow. You've had some really deep moments in your stuttering journey. That's pretty cool. So
yeah, I've been really
sorry. good, okay. Good. So now you mentioned that you went to your first National Stuttering Association event at the small mini-con friends in Anaheim. Is it after that you got involved with your local chapter?
Yeah, so I met three people from the San Diego chapter there, and one of them was really pestering me, like, you have to come. And I was freaked out. I'm like, this guy is like really over eager. Like, I don't know, I feel weird. The stuttering by other people was still like freaking me out. I kept doing what I tried to pretend, what was it doing? This totally made my hair stand on end. But and so I signed up for the emails, I think, and I would get the email saying, oh, we have a chapter meeting tomorrow. And then I would reply the next day, like, oh, I missed this email, which was a total lie. I just was scared. And I finally went to one thing right after the conference, and it was just a dinner, and it went well, but I left, and I'm like, well, we'll see. And then I didn't go for a few more months. And then I went to my first actual meeting, because I was living in Vista Oceanside area, which is not that close to San Diego. So even though I worked in Central, so in San Diego, I would take the train every day. And when I moved down to San Diego to be for my job, I started going to the chapter meetings every month. So it was about probably 5 months after the regional conference in Anaheim that I actually started going regularly, and I got to know the amazing people in the San Diego chapter.
That's great. So you're still a member of that chapter, right?
Yeah. It's pretty much all guys and me.
Oh.
So it's an interesting group.
Yeah. How does that feel, being the only woman?
There's times where I miss it. Especially at first, they'd all start talking about like sports or something, and I was like, I don't care about this. but also hearing some of their perspectives of like why they think that women, like, if there's more men who's stutter, then why are the conferences pretty half and half, and why are so many women SLPs? It was a lot of interesting kind of back and forth with them where I was like, well, you know, they said, well, there was this older guy at the time that was like, women all want to be SLPs because we just want to fix everyone, you know? And I was like, maybe part of it is like a vulnerability thing too, where women are socialized to be more vulnerable and care about these things in a way that men, they see it as a weakness. And all, it was a group of like seven men and then me, and they all were like, maybe. And so it was kind of nice to be able to bring a different perspective with them. And now I think it's less of a thing because we have a pretty core group and we've been friends now for a while. But every now and then we'll go speak at like a little Q&A thing. And someone will ask, what's the difference for people who stutter from women? And my guy friends are still a little bit like, oh, it's the same. And I'm like, well, because we're socialized in such different ways, it does impact us a little differently. sometimes, not for everyone, but I've seen that there tends to be a different reaction. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of been nice to see that and to get to know these guys and not invalidate any of their experiences that might be a little different than mine sometimes. But then it's nice at the conferences to be around other women that are, and not just a bunch of guys who are all really sweet and great and awesome. But
yeah. Yeah. So when did you go to your first national conference?
2016 was the first one I went to. So that was Atlanta.
Okay.
And my two of the guys from my group had gone to Baltimore the year before. And I was just still afraid. It's kind of interesting to me how kind of terrified I was of the idea of these giant conferences, and I would make these excuses like, I can't afford it, blah, blah, blah. But I know that if I had worked things out with people, I could have, you know, because I know they at the time, and they still do have the like scholarship people who are, and now I am fine, and that's not, and now I save up every year and I can because I'm lucky and fortunate with my job. But at the time, I definitely could have figured out ways to get there, but I always had an excuse to not go. But so my first one was Atlanta, and I was pretty freaked out being around that many people, and I felt stuck. Here I am in this city I don't know, I'm around all these people stuttering like me, and the first 2 days were rough, but I quickly was able to kind of find my place and figure out how to get comfortable there and had a really great time and wanted to go back to Dallas this year. So,
and you did, right?
And I did.
Yeah. Cool. You even helped run a workshop, I think, right?
Yes. I helped run a creative writing workshop in Dallas this year. And then I was on a panel for faith and stuttering. So I was really involved this year.
Wow.
I felt for my second conference.
Yeah. So what did you do with the creative writing?
So we have a little writers group that Shawnee put together. She lives in New York, and there's a few people in this group, and we'll meet every couple months on Google Hangout, and then we'll turn in writings we do into a Dropbox that we share, and we can edit each other's work. And so we wanted to talk about our group, and we wanted to help kind of people explore their writing voice. I think a lot of people who stutter have gone to writing as a way to express ourselves, mm-hmm. Because it's not always easy to do verbally. And so that was, so we just kind of wanted to help like create that world. And we kind of wanted exposure for a group and try to get people's interest to see if they wanted to be a part of it too.
Oh, wow. Did you get anybody else interested?
We had a lot of people interested and signed up for the email, but we haven't seen too much of a difference when it comes to the actual who turns in the stuff to write and who edits stuff. But I think it's okay. I think it's hard for people to make time for something like that. And hopefully when they have time, they, at least they know it's there and it's a resource that they can use and be a part of too. Yeah, and now that I'm thinking about it, I'm wondering if we can find other ways to get people a little more involved and stuff. So we'll see though. But the workshop went really well, which was cool. It was a pretty small I mean, it wasn't that small. It wasn't that small of a spoke on for sure, but it's so good to have smaller groups. We were able to really engage people more. So
yeah And you said you were on a panel for another workshop, Stuttering in Faith.
Yes.
Tell me a little
So it's actually
about
kind of
that.
funny. Yeah. So it's actually kind of funny because I had written a blog last year called Faith and Stuttering. I was raised Catholic. I was involved in a Christian church in high school and went to a Christian college. So it was a really a big part of my life growing up. And I had heard one of my friend, Shawnee told me about she was asked to speak on this panel. She's Jewish and they were trying to get different voices on there. And I was like, what? This I had this idea for a panel. I wanted to like bring different voices from different faith backgrounds and just have a discussion about it. So it was really cool that someone else was doing them. So I contacted him. I was like, maybe I could help out or speak on it. And he's like, yeah, of course. So they brought me on board too, and it was a pretty big turnout. There were a lot of people there that had a lot of things to just work through and think when it comes to this dynamic, because it's such a strange one, but it's so common. It's this like the question of like, why me? You know, whether it's God or whoever else, why am I stuck with this? Why are you punishing me? What did I do? And how almost everyone there had asked that question before. It was kind of just a cool environment to be in, where we all kind of understand this overlap of something that's so important in our lives, and so many people feel like, oh, God wants to call me through this and because of this and the law, and having people very conflicted over that, over the low self-esteem that has been created, with also this feeling of like a higher calling. So it's just a really interesting conversation that we were able to have about that they were saying really hasn't happened a lot before, in at least up in the workshops and stuff. So it was unique and definitely something that I care a lot about.
Wow. That's great that you were able to be so involved and immersed in just your second conference. So, are you going to do a workshop at next year's conference?
I don't have anything planned right now. It would be kind of cool too. I do love to speak publicly, and I like to create conversations with people and engage that. And so I think I would enjoy doing one, but I don't know. I'd have to come up with something that I thought was important enough to pitch to a group of people.
Wow. What a you've got you've covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. We kind of need to wind down already. This time just flew by. Thank you so much for sharing all that you did. I really appreciate that. I have one more question though. Because you're in HR, what kind of advice would you offer to a job seeker who has a stutter?
Yeah. My suggestion is always to advertise right off the bat. To just, even if you don't think you're going to stutter, even if you think you can hide it during the interview, you think you're having a good day, just let them know. Just, you know, hey, I just want to let you know I have a stutter. I kind of however you feel comfortable introducing it, not make it a big deal. Eases the conversation both for you, which might be the more important thing, but also for them so they know what's going on too. But I've definitely seen that that made a really big impact on me. And I think the other person respects it, hopefully. You know, I know not everything's perfect in this world, but it tends to be the other person's like, oh, I really appreciate that they were bold enough to say something about that. And I think it will give them a sense of respect towards you in that place. And then also preparing with the questions, kind of going over what questions you think they're going to ask. It's kind of like the normal advice too, with all that, being really well prepared will help too. But also I think advertising helps a lot.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. Well, it's nice to get that from somebody that has expertise in the human resources field. So thank you for sharing that. It's been wonderful chatting with you today, Jamie, and I'm sure people that are listening are going to feel really inspired by what you've shared. So thanks again for being a guest.
Thank you. You're so kind. I love listening to your podcast, and I'm really thankful that you let me be a part of it.
Oh, that's great. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.